with a bit of luck, with a bit of luck, you won't remember March the 25th, 2012. It was a Sunday. If you do remember it too clearly, I'm in a bit of trouble because I preached then, and I preached about hearts. I'm going to do to today, but different. So if you do remember every word of what I said, then you'll know where it sort of overlaps and doesn't. I mean, hearts figure a lot, don't they, in sayings? One faint heart never won a fair lady. I mean, they should have told me that perhaps years ago, you know, I think probably. And, of course, we have lots of pictures, don't we, about hearts. Things that can't be true, but we got to, you know, we know what we mean. Warm-hearted. That conveys a picture about someone. Soft-hearted. We get to the heart of the matter. You can be whole-hearted. You can have a heart of gold. You can be broken-hearted. And so on. It seems from these sayings that very often our heart sort of defines us and controls our actions. And of course you can have a heart to heart with someone to put things right if they'll agree to have one with you. It's a good antidote for groups in our society who spend their time shouting at each other. A few weeks ago on the news, it was quite depressing. There was, first of all, a big march in Northern Ireland about gay marriage, and the church, the Presbyterian Church, also then had their counter-demonstration. Both groups had placards, and both groups were shouting slogans at each other. Now, whatever your views on the two on the topic, doesn't matter, but as long as the two groups just had placards and were shouting at each other, there wasn't going to be much progress, was there? And then on the same news, there were two demonstrations in Kent, one by the English Defence League saying we must man our borders, we're prepared to man them to keep out all these people wanting to come illegally, and they had their placards. And then there was another group saying, you know, it is all a humanitarian problem and anybody who wants to come should be able to come. Again, it doesn't matter what your individual views on that, the two groups were chanting at each other and shouting at each other, and you thought there's not going to be any useful debate here. And of course we know individually that if you start shouting at somebody else and they start shouting back at you, the whole thing escalates, and you might as well sort of count to 10, both of you, back off and come and say we need to start this some other way, because shouting means you're not going to listen, doesn't it? Sometimes it doesn't matter, sometimes it does. I mean, my eldest brother and my father used to shout at each other over silly things like how far it was from London to Brighton. We had this famous exchange once. Peter and I remember it vividly, that they shouted at each other, arguing. David produced the map and said, here's the map, and Dad said, the map's wrong, you know, so you can't go on there. Well, Jesus and the Pharisees didn't actually manage to have a heart-to-heart because their hearts, we read, were far from him. They'd already got their minds made up. Jesus didn't fit their views on the Messiah, and actually his views here in the reading, and follow a bit more in the commentary if you can read the small print, his views here actually justified to them their prejudice, their views. I mean, God could, of course, have compelled them to believe in him. He has the power to do that. He could compel us, I suppose, to do his will, but he doesn't ever compel. He chose and he chooses the way of the cross. He offers to the world sacrificial, unconditional love because he wants our hearts. The mainspring of who we are and what we do or say. He wants to give us new hearts that are bathed in and enlarged by his love. He always has. You might be familiar with some of these quotes. Deuteronomy, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. These commandments are to be upon your hearts. Do not let them slip from your heart. In Ezekiel, God says, I will give you a new heart. And in Jeremiah, God says, I will give you a heart to know me. The people will return to me with all their heart. And in the New Testament, writing to the Christians at Ephesus, Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And in Romans, the writer says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, Steve Claridge, the Radio 5 Live football pundit, says that you can tell when a soccer manager has lost the dressing room, not because he can't find his way there. Technical term for those of you who don't follow football means his team don't take any notice of what he says anymore. He says you can tell when a manager has lost the dressing room because the team will play as if they don't believe anymore in the team project. He says you can see that their hearts aren't really in it. They go through the motions, but that's it. Well, the question today is, are our hearts really in God's project of love? A simple question. Are your heart and my heart really in God's project of love? Are we committed to it? Do we believe in it? The gospel reading today suggests that certainly real faith is not ritual. It doesn't matter what you do. Somebody once said to me, your ministers here don't dress right. They don't have their cassocks, as if that was important. And something else they noticed. I suppose some people would think I shouldn't stand up without a gown on or something. I could wear a gown and hood with a nice silk hood. It would look very impressive. I'd be rather hot this morning, and the fact that it's a degree in geography really is neither here nor there. But it would make some people happier, no doubt. It doesn't matter. And there are people who say you don't sing enough traditional hymns or you don't sing enough modern songs, and you shouldn't, certainly. A good Baptist wouldn't have a printed liturgy, you see. I mean, they do it without the print, but if it's written down, people say, well, you're just going through the motions always. Well, that's a load of rubbish, isn't it, really? I mean, ritual and what we do isn't real faith. Faith is really a matter of the heart. Jesus says in our reading, it's the heart that makes someone unclean. If hearts are far from God, then things can go pear-shaped very rapidly. Because our reading ends with this list of nasty things. He says, from the heart comes evil designs, murders, adultery, envy, slander, pride, evil deeds. If you look at the two gospels in which this passage occurs, the list is different. In each, one's longer and one shorter. It depends perhaps what you do believe. But it's a long list of darkness. It's rather like the bleak and ugly picture we made at our June messy church, when we had hate, lies, kill and cruel as four nasty things that produced a picture much bigger than this. But you really wouldn't sort of want to see this hanging on your wall, would you? It's pretty messy. It's nasty, black and dark. And we said these things were bad and wrong, and that they ruin lives and our world. I mean, if your child or your grandchild scribbled this on your wall, you'd not be very happy at all. They're dark and nasty and everything. And it all seems rather bleak, of course, if you just leave it there, as our reading does. But of course, the new heart of love that God wants and is able to give us, to grow in us, produces love and joy, peace and patience, goodness and self-control. That's what we're told in Scripture. The fruits of the Spirit are those that grow to transform. They're things that would be seen in our lives and that can change us and the world. Because against those things, there is no law at all. And I can tell you that we had four words in Messy Church that were kind, truth, giving and love. Things that in June we said are good and right. And they turned this ugly blackness, if I can get, the visual aids are always dodgy with me. But there goes the script. They turned this into that. No, it's all right, Janet. I think, yeah. They turned this into that. A riot of colour and light, sparkling, a total and absolute contrast. Isn't it? I mean, you can see it. That's why I brought it, you know, rather than saying. You can't get two pictures much different than that. You can't get two ways more different than that. Why does this happen? Well, we can have confidence that it will, because as we sang in our first hymn, We say, in other words, sin and death shall not prevail. We all sang that. And we said at Messy Church, so you know that we do tell them good Christian teaching at Messy Church, that the right and good win hands down every time. The right and the good win hands down every time, as God's love that raised Jesus to life in resurrection gets to work. He loves the whole world. He really does. He loves you and me, warts and all. And he longs for us and everybody else to open our hearts to him so that his love can grow those fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And we can do that today and every day and discover new life in him. Even ordinary people like you and me, this August bank holiday weekend in 2015. Amen.